Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who? Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside Latitude Live, inside Latitude 30. I'm Brian Sexton and this is Jaguars This Week. Live from the stage, we are at Latitude 30 right across from the Avenues Mall on Jacksonville Southside. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you and
to
our
you.
Gang here. Jeff Lagerman is here.
We've already started the week out. We had a little pumpkin pie and pecan pie courtesy of my wife today.
And it was fantastic. I call it pecan. I hope she's not offended, but it was the best pecan pie I have ever eaten.
She makes one heck of a pie, but the best part is that you got to start the week out like that. You know, you got to train, you got to stretch the stomach so that tomorrow when it rolls around, you're ready to rock and roll.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. The best part about Thanksgiving to me is, first of all, it's being around family and friends.
Right.
And being thankful for where you are, and I've got a lot of reasons to be thankful, as we all do.
We all do.
But also because it means that you get to eat leftovers for the next week.
Why is that different? Like these leftovers better?
You know, some people don't like Thanksgiving leftovers. I mean, I don't get that.
Osh, you on board with that?
Yeah, I'm a big leftover guy. Really?
I love Thanksgiving leftovers, and especially when my crew gets together on Thanksgiving, because everybody brings something, and we have 12 people, and then you end up having enough food for 35, and so the most important thing, if you come with me on Thanksgiving Day, is to bring a box of Ziploc bags and a cooler.
I was thinking you were going to say a box of wine, and I was going to be worried about that for a minute.
No.
And speaking of leftovers, we're joined by Jacob Shatton.
I was gonna lay out a much more formal introduction. First of all, it's JP Shadrick. You all know him. He does so many things, Jaguars.com.
I think Boselli lost $1.50.
Yeah, he got better looking too, I'll tell you. Yeah.
What's going on, JP?
I don't know what I'm doing up here. Well, I'm usually out there eating pizza.
You made the mistake of showing up on a night that Boselli's not.
Yeah, no, it's great to be up here, guys.
This could be Wally Pitt.
Yeah.
That's right. No, this is that's a good point, John. It took me a minute to get that one. But that was a good one.
I have my original hips too, by the way.
Boselli's going to join us, by the way, at 7:00. He is in Dallas. He's doing for the Dial Global folks. He's doing the Cowboys Redskins game tomorrow. So we'll let you introduce him and see if he gets it.
Tony Pitt.
But folks, I mean, JP says, "What am I doing up here?" JP works in the public relations department for the Jaguars, but also does everything on Jaguars.com. And I mean everything. Jaguars reporters.
Right.
Not reporters.
No.
Inside the Jaguars, which is almost daily magazine.
Yeah, what, 4 days a week?
Three or 4 days a week.
That's right.
Yeah, 4 days a week.
You're on there on Wednesdays with us.
Yeah, and I'm on with Hugh and Johnny O on Wednesdays. And by the way, in case you didn't know, Film Room Friday's on Friday.
Yeah, Film Room Friday is on Friday.
That's a jab at Johnny.
Oh, well, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
I heard it's pretty good.
It's really good.
It might be the best thing on the web.
Does it get as many hits as the mailbag?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a week to week thing.
There was a discussion about that earlier.
Yeah,
I probably heard something about it.
We can discuss it off air.
You know, we kind of banter back and forth about that. You know, but the most important thing is that we're on the same team.
Sure, why not?
Me and Johnny O. at least tonight.
And you share the same table, and that's kind of the way this thing has gone. Before the season is over, we'll do bowling, and you guys are on the same team. So, those that bowl together got to hang together.
And Jeff's in his Florida Gator colors tonight. So it's
now that's kind of a soft Virginia thing.
Thank you. It's Virginia colors.
Yeah,
Let's not get confused. And I know there's a big game in the state of Florida this weekend on Saturday.
Who's South Florida play this week?
South Florida plays
Is it South
FIU?
Florida, Central Florida?
I think it's FIU.
The I-4 quarter panel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get serious here for a minute, if we can.
Nothing new this week. You know, kind of a calm slow week for the Jaguars news.
I don't even know why you opened
my mouth. They talk about burying the lead.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, the Metro PCS call-in lines are open this evening as you're traveling. Please, please use the hands-free device in your car. It is 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Osher's here, so at John Osher, if you've got a tweet, and he'll pass those things along. Are you on Twitter, JP?
Yeah, I am. At JP Shadrick.
JP Shadrick.
All one word.
Just like it sounds.
Yes.
Shadrick.
The letter J, right. The letter P-S-H-A-D-R-I-C-K.
Yeah, golden. That's right.
So if you've got a
thought,
to
remember that because that's different from your name. How?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question, actually, John.
Thanks.
I never have to say it on the radio. I don't know. Yeah.
All right, so if you've got a thought, you can go that way as well. And obviously the big news today is that Blaine Gabbert is on injured reserve. So too is LaRon Robinson. And, Jeff, I credit you because you saw his head hit the turf when it happened in the ball game in Houston. And that was concussion number 4, so he's on injured reserve.
Yeah, I was really nervous because that was actually on the 3rd and 10, mm-hmm. right before they went for it on 4th and 10 in overtime. And when he went up and reached for the ball, it was kind of he was diving upwards and backwards. And then when his back hit, I can tell you, of all my years of playing football, the most intense headaches / concussions that I have ever had have been when you land on your back and your head snaps back to the ground real fast. And it's almost like, imagine a whip. And that's when the whip, it generates that last,
5% is where all the snap is.
Yeah, and it's I don't know how much more velocity that a whip generates in those last couple inches, but it's a lot. And that's what happens with the head. And when I saw LaRon go up and then land back on his back and then the head just, snapped down to the ground, I said, uh-oh. Because that's the exact way that it happened in training camp when we actually happened right at our feet. It happened like that against the Cincinnati Bengals, but the one at Indianapolis was not like that. But three incidents now to where the head snapping back to the turf, and he needs to be on IR. You know, with the concussion awareness thing going on today, we're talking 4 in a year.
Right.
It's time to get put on the show.
Well, Clint Session had 3, if you recall, last year, and this is right about the time that we came back from Cleveland and he was shelved.
And I don't know the degree. I mean, there's always degrees of concussions, but 4 in a relatively short period of time.
Well, what I'm saying is that Clint still hasn't returned to football, so you don't know what his long-term prognosis is.
Well, and Mike Mularkey admitted today, you don't know about LaRon. You hope. But this discussion and this issue has changed so dramatically, even in the last year, in terms of how they're approached. 2 years ago, I don't think that you would have assumed, or we wouldn't be talking about the career possibly being over for Session or for LaRon. We don't know, but that wouldn't have even been in the discussion. You'd have sort of assumed that wasn't the case. And now, within 2 years, every time a guy gets multiple, that's sort of the first thing you think about. And that's a dramatic change. That would have never been thought about in your career, Jeff.
No.
I mean, it wouldn't even been a possibility. I mean, it would have taken a lot more than this, but it's changed.
I know that they changed. His helmet was different. He showed it to us on Jaguars.com one day with an interview with him right before he came back active from the last one. And he had a different helmet, more padding inside. Mm-hmm. It was a specialized helmet for guys who have head trouble, I guess. So it must have been that whip back, like you had said.
Yeah,
it's hard to get around that.
Well, the ironic thing or the amazing thing is, they have put all these rules in to protect players, to protect the defenseless receiver, to protect, and the defense is angry about it. With LaRon's, that wasn't, for the most part, what has caused this. In this sport, it's going to happen.
Well, and it does bring up a greater point. Now, this could be 2 years in a row the Jaguars have put out big money for mm-hmm. a free agent and then had them not even finish the season with multiple concussions. And obviously, in the case of Clint, there is no knowing whether he'll return. Same thing now. I mean, it does change the perspective on some
of this. Yeah, and with Clint, we talked about this way back in training camp. And, if you haven't been able to get healthy in that amount of time, what's a few extra more months going to get you? I don't think it's going to gain you much.
Well, it might get you to a point where
Clint
you can live.
Session.
Right. It might get you to a point, Logs, where you can live a relatively normal life but not return to football.
Well, and that kind of continues a string of bad luck in free agent signings. Aaron Kampman came in and ended up having an ACL.
8 games, 4 sacks, done.
Done. And then Clint Session, the concussions. Now LaRon Robinson with the concussions. And with LaRon, there's no way that you could say, hey, this may happen. with Aaron Camp, there's no way to project and say, well, this may happen. With Clint, I kind of had I was kind of nervous about him, and I don't know if I said it to John or I said it to you,
said
Brian.
It to me. Right,
I said
when they signed him.
He strikes with his head, mm-hmm. in today's game with awareness for cushions, I would be concerned about signing him because of the way he plays the game. And that did end up coming to fruition. But I feel for these guys because, and fortunately for them, looking at it from a selfish standpoint, if you're in their position, you're glad you got to free agency when you did and it happened when it did.
Right. It's a dangerous game. People wonder why they get paid so much. That's why.
Because if you're Clint Session or you're LaRon Robinson and you're headed to free agency, you may not get a bite. And I'm talking, you'll get a bite, but the money, forget about it.
And that's where I think it's dramatically changed within 2 years how teams are going to look at guys with concussions. I don't say it takes you off the table, but it's like Jeff said, if you have a guy who's had one the previous year, I've got to think it's going to drop his market value by 70-80%.
Perfect example, the newly signed wide receiver for the Jaguars, Shipley. Jordan Shipley was a third-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, ended up having a knee injury, I believe.
Last year,
but he also had a major concussion event. I think he got hit by DJ Ware, and he was knocked out. And so you wonder, former third-round pick that just underwent a knee,
catches
and he's on the street now. And so why would a guy who's a former third-round pick with 52 catches in his rookie year,
52 catches.
Why was he on the street? He was with Tampa for a short period of time this year, fumbled on a punt return, and that was it. They cut him. You know how that things work in Tampa with a new coach, and he is.
Right.
But that's definitely – you know, and so when you see all that, you kind of get nervous for the players in the future because financially, if you're tagged or labeled with having head injuries – are you going to be willing to share that information with a doctor when it happens? Or are you going to say, you know what, I need to keep this kind of close to the vest because, you know what, it may end up costing me millions of dollars.
And we're right now in that moment where they're trying to establish the sideline protocol. How many times did you watch the game on Monday night, the Monday night football game?
I did.
They talked about the quarterback, Alex Smith, and they said, and the NFL ruled that the concussion procedures were followed, and then they talked about another player. And they said, and they ruled
that.
Well, but they're making a big point of letting everyone know, we've checked this out. You know, he's playing or he's not playing. But it wasn't that they ruled that he could play or not. It was that the policies were followed. We're in a transformational time in this league. That lawsuit.
You know why? That's why.
That lawsuit. That's it.
That is exactly why you're talking about the league making statements about protocol.
You bet.
The liability and the lawsuit that's out there.
Huge.
It's changed the game.
It is a transformational moment in professional football.
And we'll eventually get to Blaine Gabbert and all that.
We'll
talk
do that
here.
Break.
But, I mean, along the same lines with LaRon Robinson, I mean, the league's reaction with Ed Reed this week where they were going to suspend him for one game and he was going to lose a game check for $423,000. $423,000 because they called him a repeat offender because he had one incident earlier this year and then one last
2010.
Year.
2010.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah, and if you watched it, you know what? Back in a couple years ago, the coaches, that wouldn't even have been a highlight film.
Right.
The coaches would have been all over him saying, hey, Ed, rip his head off. You took it too easy on him.
When he said, it's a contact sport, and I'm headed for the football.
And then we're going to get into more of this tonight. But, I mean, I've got a real problem, and I expressed this concern to you, Brian, and I actually had a conversation with Shad Khan about this, and that, you know, the union and the players are kind of not in a great place. You know, it seems to be very confrontational. And I think one of the big reasons why is this, exactly what we're seeing with this, you know, the awareness, the concussions, the blows to the head and neck area for the players. And you're going to find a guy, a game check, because he played the game on that play the way he's played the game his entire life, the way he was taught. And you're expecting to change the culture and change the game in a short period of time. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. And it can't happen that fast. And you can't be that vicious with the punitive side of it and expect to have a relationship in the future with a union that you've got to have a partnership with.
All right, we need a break. Joe, send us there. We'll come back and talk about Blaine Gabbert on Injured Reserve.
You got it, Brian. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Hey, how about celebrating Thanksgiving with us early? We're live at Latitude 30, Phillips Highway, right across from the Avenues Mall. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, live, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. Well, you can get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Now back to the only guy with a microphone whose name doesn't begin with J. Brian Sexton.
John, Jeff. Oh, JP, there you go. Yeah. You haven't been able to say that one at all. Welcome back to Latitude 30. We got a nice little crowd here the night before Thanksgiving for a 1-9 football team. Brian?
Absolutely. They got to make some noise, though. I mean, what are they doing? They're sitting over here. What are they doing?
There we go.
Just waiting for you.
What, are we in church?
No, we're not. Although there was sort of a somber mood around the news today that Blaine Gabbert is on injured reserve. And that means that the final 6 weeks of the season will no longer be about evaluating him as the quarterback for the future. JP, you were there today.
Yeah.
It was an interesting dynamic.
It was. And, you know, I noticed it on the sideline when he came out of the ballgame on Sunday that, you know, as Mike said in his press conference on Monday, Blaine was the first one there greeting guys off the field, looking at pictures with guys, Polaroids during the, you know, plays, helping the other quarterback out. And it was a similar feel today. Yeah, he's disappointed to be out, and you want to play, but he said he's going to do what's best. He said the things he's supposed to say.
Right.
He's going to do what's best for the team and stick around and help the team out. He went to Birmingham yesterday and saw Dr. James Andrews on the off day, and that determination made the decision today to go to IR, and that's basically was it.
And it was obviously a lot more serious, I think, or I think they were a little surprised that it was as serious as it was when they came, you know, when they came back from Dr. Andrews, because there really wasn't a whole lot of thought on Monday. I don't think that this was going to be an IR situation.
Right.
And so they went ahead today and decided to make the decision to put him on IR. And he's going to go ahead and have the surgery on the left shoulder that he had the problem with before. And but what put him on IR is the forearm injury that he sustained on Sunday.
Yeah, because he was playing with the shoulder anyway,
right.
You know.
Dr. Andrews told him that it would be 6 weeks of no throwing in the recovery with the elbow. And when we watched it in the game, we saw the elbow and saw the blue, and I was going, that has to be
right.
Paint from the Texans logo.
That's some heavy, big bruising.
And it wasn't.
Right.
I mean, I asked him, I said, was that paint on your arm? He said, no. He said, it was unbelievable. He said, when I came to the sideline and looked down, he said, it was immediate edema right, you know, from the elbow towards the, you know, forearm. And we, I mean, they actually showed it on television.
Well, and I said to you, does that mean it's dislocated? And that was when you thought, no, it's paint.
Well, that just shows you, too, the quick trigger reaction. I got so many emails. Are you kidding me? He's out with an elbow contusion. You know, why in the world? And it went back to the, I told you he's not tough. I told you this. And it just shows you the disconnect between perception and reality.
Absolutely.
On that sort of an issue sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the sideline, and he's trying to hold a ball, and he couldn't do it.
He couldn't
live it over his shoulder. I mean, that's how painful it was.
He told me that the grip, he said right now his grip even feels like that of like a five-year-old. You know, he said it's very weak.
Right. Think what you want about him as a quarterback, but this is, you know, this was not, nor has it ever been with him, a toughness issue.
And, you know, Gene told me earlier today that it was not a common injury. It's not one that's seen very often.
Right.
And so when you're talking about your franchise quarterback and an injury that you don't see very often and the weakness in the hand, you can't take any risks with that.
No.
You've got to sit him down. You've got to put him on injured reserve. I can't imagine that he's very happy about it. However, moving on.
Right.
If the last 6 weeks were supposed to be about Blaine and evaluating if he's your guy, what are they now?
Well, according to Mike Mularkey today, the last 6 weeks are about, if Chad Henne plays well, there's a real good chance he goes into next season as a starter. And that surprised me a little bit, but that's what Mike said today. And it's apparent that if Chad Henne plays well, he's going to get a chance to prove that he's the guy for some amount of time going forward. I don't know how long that means, but he's going to get a chance to start.
You know, the misfortune in that for Blaine is he came out and completed his first two passes,
right,
and looked pretty sharp.
Yeah.
You know, he, before the shoulder injury, which, by the right, way, people forget, he's been playing with a torn
labrum. Yeah, you got to give him credit for that, because you know what? There's a lot of quarterbacks, and I won't say a lot, but there are some quarterbacks that when they got a left shoulder injury that requires surgery, could have opted, that's it, call it, you know, I got to get the surgery, I'm done for the year.
Especially one that's playing on his rookie contract.
Yes, and I mean, give him credit in that he said, no, I need the reps, I want to play for my team. So anybody that would say that he's not tough, obviously I don't think has ever played the game, because I give him credit for playing with the torn labrum, taking shots, going back in. And then last year he played with some things last year that nobody knows about, didn't find its way on the injury report, you know, and never will. So
he's been taking shots for 2 years. I mean, it's not like this is new.
And here's what you wonder about Blaine now, though. Everybody knows he's got every tool. He's a smart guy. He works. He's worked in the off season. But now what you want, you know, so the one thing that he needs is game experience. And that's what sort of lacked. When you watch him play, that's what you know sort of lacks, that ability to sort of instinctively go here, or I know where to go with the ball. And now you wonder when he finds that. And I'm not sure we know the answer to it, because it's going to be difficult short-term this year, and maybe at the start of next year, for him to get that game, you know, game experience. So I don't know when the improvement comes down.
And with Mike's comments this week, I was disappointed, I'm going to be honest with you. And the reason I say I'm disappointed, because you know what Blaine Gabbert came into last year was an absolute train wreck. Coaching situation, the ownership situation. He was a true junior coming out. Should have had another year at the college level.
How about the talent situation at receiver to throw to?
Yeah, and you wanted to have him sit for a year. And if you question that, look at Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. Look at Jake Locker in Tennessee. The perfect situation for him would have been to come in last year, like that's what we expected. And the David Guard was going to be the guy, and then Blaine was going to sit back and learn. I mean, he's a young player coming from a spread offense. It's totally different than any type of drop-back passing system in the NFL, and he didn't get that. The good thing is that at least he got some reps, you know. So, but I would have rather have heard him say, hey, look, here's the way it is now. What happens next year? We'll see. We'll see. I would rather have him say, we're going to take Chad Henne this game this week against Tennessee, and we'll see what happens this week, and then what happens next year. Hey, look, we got to win a game.
All right, this conversation is going to carry us for a while, so we will come back. Joe has to get us out so we can get the news from our friends over at News Talk WOKV. Right, Joe?
All right, thanks, guys. Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase necessary. Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on Jaguars Radio. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Cons Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Remember, folks, the Metro PCS call-in lines are open as you are heading towards the holiday. Hopefully you enjoy the warm embrace of family and friends like so many Americans will tomorrow. And three football games, three good ones. Houston's at Detroit, Washington's at Dallas. And who's home, the Jets and Patriots?
You know, I think it's New England.
All right. I don't know where that one is. But
I think
those
it's
are the
New
games.
England, but I'm not positive.
Joe is frantically going to his phone. So we'll find out. Back to
it's at New York.
All right, at New York. So here you go.
What do I
so,
know?
Yeah. Patriots at the Jets.
It
so
was
here
one
we
of the
are.
Two.
The big right. It was not a neutral side game, is what you're saying. Not being played in London. So here's the story again today. Blaine Gabbert goes to the injured reserve list, is done for the season. I'm told we'll have surgery next week.
Monday.
For the shoulder.
Right.
Surgery on the arm has not yet been determined. Probably can.
Yeah, they're hoping to avoid that.
Yeah, they don't think that it needs that, but.
So Henne takes over, coming off a 354-yard day, four touchdowns, but he didn't finish strong. What did you say? 2 of 12, and I think 4 of 17.
He was 2 of his last 13 attempts, and
now, there were a couple of drops in there also. So it wasn't.
Yeah,
like
I mean, and it
bad.
Wasn't all his fault, but I mean, that's when you'd like to see, you know, a guy that you know, maybe you would have confidence in, just kind of rise up, and make the play. I mean, first and goal from the 6. Man, that devil was a heartbreaker on that.
You know,
and for the break, we were talking about, you know, Gabbert in the future, and we sort of had a tone that it was done. And that's not the case at all. You know, Mike didn't say today, Chad Haney's my guy going into next season. He said, you know, that if he played well, that was a strong possibility, you know, as a possibility. So this is still going to play out. And, you know, experience tells you in this sort of thing that we can sit here and say what we think, but there's such a long process to get to where we're back to next April and saying what the situation is. So let's just be cautious before we say XYZ is going to happen, ABC is going to happen. In this league, these six games are going to determine a lot.
Well, and there's so many.
I didn't see the need to comment on it at all.
You would have just left it alone.
Yeah.
In retrospect, saying nothing serves you better.
Yeah,
in a situation like that.
I mean, like I'm going to go back and say it again. You're worried about winning a game. Okay, what happens in January, February, March, April, May next year? You think the guys in the locker room are worried about that? No, they're worried about getting a win. You know, I mean, and you always want to leave your options open because you just don't know what's going to happen. I just didn't see the need to comment on what was basically a question that you can't see the future. What do they call them questions again? Hypothetical questions.
Yes.
It was a hypothetical question. Why answer a hypothetical question?
And he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would answer a hypothetical question if it was asked of him.
Well, I think to his credit, he was trying to be honest. And the question was...
And he does, and I appreciate
right.
that.
No,
he'll answer a question if it's asked of him.
He's honest.
Does Chad have a chance to win the job? You know, that was... He said yes. So he's got a chance to be the permanent guy. And it's news because you're dealing with a... Blaine, who has been the guy, and everybody has assumed was the franchise quarterback going forward, and he was going to get every chance. So that's what made it news. And, again, I just think it's something that... We will know a lot more on this issue in 4, 5, 6 weeks, much like we were going to know a lot more about Blaine had he played through the end of the season.
Just want to point out to folks, if you want an example of a quarterback who doesn't come around until his fourth season in the league, take Drew Brees. After his third season, he had 28 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, and a passer rating of 72. He didn't start much as a rookie, but year two, year three, nothing. Year four comes on. So you can't tell before a guy even finishes hit two full seasons what he's going to do. Let it grow. Let it happen.
Well, and I think that becomes the question that we talked about right for the break with Blaine. The one thing he lacks, he's got everything else. The one thing he lacks is game time.
Awareness, pocket presence.
All comes from game time.
Yeah, I mean, those things, some guys have it. I mean, Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, oh my, does he have it. I mean, the good Lord blessed him with way too much of that, trust me.
But had probably played a lot more football coming to the NFL than Blaine had.
Oh, sure he has.
That stuff's learned, too. You can have it naturally, but you got to be out there to get it.
And he came from a pro-style offense under Jim Harbaugh at Stanford. That doesn't hurt. Whereas Blaine came from a spread offense, which was all timing throws.
And Missouri was about four receivers all the time.
And, John, part of your point, I mean, you can't get game experience in OTAs and in minicamp and the summer workout and training camp. It's got to be in games, and that's what's so disappointing that we're not going to find out this year.
But we're going to find out about one thing. We're going to find out about the competitive spirit of Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out.
We'll find out in a few months.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, he took the right approach that today. When we were talking in the locker room, one of the last things he said was he used the phrase, get my job back. So he's aware this is a competition. He's got to earn it back. And he's a competitive guy. And I think one thing we all know about him from being around him, he's going to work for it. And if he doesn't get it back, it won't be because he didn't put in the proper effort, proper work, proper time.
One other thing we're going to learn about, we'll talk about this after the break, is who is Chad Henning? And what does he have to offer? Because he's the starter for the next six games. Joe, let's go to break.
Thanks, Brian. Try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, only $10.99. You get a heaping helping of their barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $10.99. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on live at Latitude 30 on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Jeff Lagerman, special guest.
Oh, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
J.P. Shadrick.
You know, I feel like Baselli's here, though, because he's on every commercial we have, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I heard at least one or two the last segment.
If you would go ahead and just order every other thing on the menu.
Where's the cobbler? Don't you always get cobbler?
It'd be just like if Baselli was here if you'd ordered a whole bunch.
Well, I got the Boom Boom shrimp. I recommend that. Or, Boom Boom. That's what they call it.
Well, we would get a whole bunch of stuff. We already had some pies, you know, so we're...
I'll tell you what, that pecan pie at work was...
Pecan.
Yes, either way.
Hold on, we got to have a debate here.
I say pecan.
You say pecan, you say pecan. Yes. What do you say?
I guess pecan is fine.
Okay, well, 3-1. Joe, what's...
Pecan.
Okay,
we got two
pecans.
He's from Philadelphia, so this is not in Northern Florida.
Show of hands, is it pecan? 1, 2, 3. Or is it pecan?
There you go.
Pecan. Oh,
did you
just say
that?
Thank you very much.
I'm from Alabama.
Thank you very much. It's pecan. Let's always refer to it as pecan.
I'm sorry,
pie.
I can't do that.
Either way, it was fantastic.
Your wife makes a good one, no matter how you want to call it.
That's the second one I had this week. There was one the other day.
Last week, yeah. She made one last week.
It was good, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were both good.
Yeah, that one was pecan, though.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, welcome back to the task at hand now. And that is Chad Henne goes into the starting lineup. A guy who, you know, got some time down in Miami. Obviously, they did not think he was their guy. Didn't play so well against Oakland. Played better in his time against the Colts. And then last week came on, a couple plays into it. Has a wind-up day and throws for 354 yards and four touchdowns, which ties the franchise record. So who is he?
It's hard to know yet. He played very poorly against Oakland. He'd probably be the first to tell you that. Played very well for a while against Houston. There's an argument, to be made that the receivers played much better the other day than they ever had in the first 9 games. Now, what you don't know is, did they play that much better because Chad Henne was playing, or would they have played that well had Gabbert played? Unfortunately, football is not a vacuum or a laboratory where you can control that sort of element. So, I think the answer is we'll find out the next 4 or 5 games who Chad Henne really is.
And he was the guy in Miami that had games like that, too. I mean, he had 350, 400-yard game occasionally, but then he'd have some games where he was far from that, too.
Right, and he said today, he was still young at the time that, all it was going on. It was his second and third year. He got hurt in his fourth year last year, I didn't play a whole lot. So he's still sort of on that upward learning curve. So,
and Jeff, we were talking in the break. I mean, 2 years as a starter, maybe 3 if you add up the other partial.
2 years, and then he was going to be in his last year in Miami, but then got hurt.
So it's not like he's been around the league forever and ever. Nope. Like a lot of people, that's kind of the thought that this guy's
a
veteran guy.
It was not a great Miami team that he was quarterback,
So give us the scouting report. You watched the tape logs. What'd you see
out of Chad?
Yeah,
I thought he made some really nice throws. Really nice throws. I think that the one thing that he showed in the game was a little more patience on the routes than what Blaine had been doing. And then also he showed a little courage in a couple instances where he threw it right in there. And his receivers made a play. Were his throws perfect? No. They were pretty good. I mean, overall, I thought it was – four touchdown passes, and a lot of people would say, God, Chad Henne, what a great day. And that is a great day because if you just look at the final number, that was a great day. But if you look at what his receivers did with the ball, they also had a great day. Cecil Shorts run after the catch on 67-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it was about 57 yards. It was a short out.
50, and then Justin had one for 81.
With 50 of it? With yards after the catch.
I mean, these guys made plays for the quarterback. And I'm not trying to discount what Chad Henne did because I think that he had the courage to make the throw to begin with.
Yeah, you still got to put the ball there.
Absolutely. And then the receivers did something as well. So,
let's balance it.
It's not all about Chad Henne on 350 yards. Part of it was, and then also part of it was the receivers.
But are 354 yards for any quarterback always quarterback? I mean, the receiver's got to be in there too, but I guess that's my question.
I think the concern, with Chad's game the other day.
Great.
No, try it again.
No, the point
is Tony calling in at any point?
at the top of the hour.
There's not always the receivers have to do some of the work too. No matter what, if a quarterback throws for 350, there's still yards after catch.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of how many.
That
happened to be a lot.
Yeah, on Sunday,
a lot.
Holy cow!
I don't know if that really was my point or not.
No,
I'll go back.
The question with Chad is the real Chad Henne the first part of the game on Sunday, or the overtime on Sunday? And again, I think it's what we'll find out.
And we don't know.
He's been both.
You know, we got a chance to watch him all of training camp. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, I said it then. I wasn't very impressed. I thought he might have been the third best quarterback in training camp. I thought that even Jordan Palmer had outplayed him in training camp.
He certainly did in the preseason
games.
And so, I mean, this is a great opportunity for Chad Henne. I'm rooting for him at the highest level because I want to see him do well because it means the team will do well. And this team needs some wins. Do I think that he can play at that level that he did at the Houston Texans? You know, as far as 354 and four touchdowns, boy, there's not many quarterbacks in this league that can do that. And you can expect that out of them every week. He was still sub 50% on his completion percentage. Mike Mularkey had said that he thought the offensive line blocked pretty well. I thought that in the latter part of the fourth quarter, and especially in overtime, it wasn't very good. It wasn't good enough. And I think that those guys up front needed to help Chad in overtime more than they did.
How long until Maurice Jones-Drew is playing again? I know he's shed the crutches in the boot.
I said it a while ago that I thought it was going to be a while, and I think you're at the point now where you start to wonder if.
Okay.
And Mike said today in his press conference that he wouldn't even rule him out for this week yet. It's, what, very questionable, he said.
But we've been seeing him in a boot.
But he said that for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't see him playing this way. He's very unlikely. I can't see it this week. At least, five games? So you figure maybe the last three?
The reason that I...
Best guess?
The reason that I say that, I mean, I went through a midfoot sprain and missed four games when you were covering
95,
the Jaguars in 95.
And you weren't right for a long time after that.
No, I was 4 months. 4 months before I felt comfortable. That's a long time. And I was fairly athletic. Fairly. And that's kind of a marginal term.
No, we'll give you fairly.
Fairly. Is that
fair.
Is that a,
you, John, you play in the league.
Fairly athletic defensive end. Whereas
you got
Maurice,
paid to play professional football, so you're athletic.
Maurice Jones-Drew is a running back.
Oh, yeah.
A little different.
Well, he was wearing the boot on the plane. Now I guess he's shed the crutches. He's moving around.
Let's say that he's got something similar to what Austin Lane had. Austin Lane he hurt his foot the first day of pads. Is that about right?
First week of camp. Yeah.
It was first.
Because we saw him in pads a few days.
First day of pads, I'm pretty sure. And then when did he come back?
About 8 weeks after. Yeah.
Chicago, I think, was the first.
Yeah, it was.
The first
it was,
game he was back on the field. So yeah.
2 months-ish.
He missed four
and,
preseason
and
games.
And when he came back, you remember how he looked when he first came back?
Yeah.
Wasn't right?
Yeah. No, he wasn't. So we'll your see. Point. And the reason I ask is because, what kind of help does Henne get from the running game? Parmalee was okay, but he is what he is.
It was better the other day. At least you had a guy who was getting every yard that was possible on the play. For the most part. And I don't think that had been the case the last 3 or 4
return
weeks.
Of Greg Jones help him?
Oh, having Greg would be a big boost, but, I mean, Greg is probably questionable at best. And this week he's missed, the last three
today.
Games with a hip injury. Yeah.
And didn't play today.
I don't know if he's going to be available or not. We'll see.
All right, that'll do it for hour number one. When we come back, Tony Boselli joins us from Dallas, where he's preparing for tomorrow's Cowboys-Redskins game. You're listening to Jaguar This Week live from Latitude 30, the night before Thanksgiving. Back after the news.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lugerman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who? Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, rolling right along into hour number two, Brian Sexton along with John Osher from Jaguars.com. You all know my broadcast partner, Jeff Lagerman. J.P. Shadrick is occupying the seat that Tony Boselli normally sits in, though he has not ordered nearly as much food.
It's impossible.
Allie is wondering what she's going to do with herself. You need to order just to keep her busy tonight. Absolutely. Tony Boselli is with us on the phones from Dallas. How's Texas?
It's good, but I want to set the record straight. I have not been ordering nearly as much food lately.
You're too easy, Boselli. I knew that was going to get you.
But you're
going to eat tomorrow, though, right?
Oh, I'm going to eat tonight. Getting ready to go to Big Steak.
Well, okay. So you just neutralized your comment.
Here's the funny thing. He says, I haven't been ordering nearly as much as I had been, but he still orders the most out of any of us up here.
It's all relative.
Whoa. Hey, listen, Mr. Steak Nachos and Sliders and Peach Cobbler and everything else. Let's slow down.
We miss you, Tony. We miss the competitive spirit that you bring.
I miss being there.
Hey, did you get the pictures we sent you?
I did. I'm very sad that I am missing and partaking of Mrs. Loggeman pie, the nice pecan pie that I experienced last year.
Pecan.
I hope you guys save me.
Pecan.
I hope you guys.
You got it right.
He's from Colorado. What does he know?
Is
pecan
it pecan
pie.
Or is it pecan? It's pecan pie.
It's pecan. Pecan pie.
And he didn't even hear that last segment. So, hey, we were just talking about Blaine Gabbert going on injured reserve and the comment made by the head coach at his news conference today that there was an opportunity for Chad Henne to assume control with a strong six-game showing. Your thoughts?
You know, I saw that comment and I was a little surprised. I'm not sure what that benefits making that comment right now. Not that it's not true, and not that Chad Henne can't establish himself as quarterback going into next year. But with six games left, Blaine just going on IR, unless he was asked that question specifically in the press conference, and I wasn't there to hear it, I wondered why he would make that statement right now this part of the season.
Well, it was a pretty specific question, Tony, but, I mean, he was asked, you know, can Chad win the job if he plays well the last six games? And Mike essentially said, yeah.
Well, if he was asked a question,
Tony, you know, the crazy thing is that me and you were actually in agreement and responded in the exact same way. Why? I mean, what do you benefit from making that statement?
And, Jeff, I don't know if you agree with this. Even if you're asked that question, I think you can answer in a way of saying, we're not going to make any decisions about next year until this offseason. I mean, we have six games to play. We're going to focus right now. And Chad Henne's our quarterback for the next six games.
You know what my response and my statement was? Hey, I'm worried about a win this week. You know, I'm not even thinking about the offseason yet. I'm worried about trying to win and play well in front of our fans.
And that would have been a great answer as well. I mean, listen, I think one thing we've learned about Mike Mularkey, he is a very straightforward, honest guy. And he probably got to ask the question, and he said what was on his mind.
That's exactly what happened, Tony.
I mean, either way, I don't think it's the end of the world. I just thought it was a curious comment. But I'm with you, Jeff. I mean, let's get a win. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really don't want to see this team break the all-time losing streak that we set in 95. I mean, I'd like to keep that streak for us and not have that broken this week.
Selfish son of a gun, kind of like the undefeated
Really, we own that record, Tony?
Seven.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, we're tied right now
seven.
With this team. I
seven
like
in a row?
The record book, so. Yeah, seven in a row.
You know, Cleveland in October didn't beat him again until New Year's Eve, or Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
and what's the worst,
the
worst season in franchise history is what?
95, 4-12.
Okay.
4-12.
That was it.
We got that record still, too.
And I'd be cool with keeping that forever.
I would, too. I want this team to win. I am tired of losing. I know they are tired of losing. And there's no reason that this team cannot win this week. I'm sure you guys talked about it, but I watched the tape against Houston. And if this team plays, I'll just speak on the offense side of the ball and forget the passing game. I mean, that speaks for itself. But the offensive line played their best game. They were the most physical they've been all year. They played with an edge. They had a little bit of nastiness to them. And if they play that way, they will beat Tennessee Titans.
But they didn't finish.
They didn't finish. I thought near the end of the fourth quarter was not great, but Jeff,
and the overtime was not good.
No, it wasn't. But I mean, I don't know. There was at least an edge to this team up front. I saw them play with the nastiness. They were trying to get after people, and I thought at times they played outstanding. And that was a very good defensive front. I mean, that's probably the best defensive front in football. And if they can play that way, they will have a lot of success against the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I don't know if they're the best defensive front, but they clearly have one of the best defensive players in football, and J.J. Watt did. And I thought they did a great job against him, particularly early on. But the one area, Tony, that is just what in the wide world of sports is going on is the defense. Schaub had the second best day in NFL history.
Well, it's the same story, guys. We don't have a pass rush. I mean, we are struggling to beat people in one-on-one pass rush situations. And as a defensive line, you have to have guys who. I mean, I thought C.J. Mosley played outstanding. He had a great hump move early in the game. I thought he had the most consistent pressure of the day. But other than that, I mean, show me where we were winning up front. And that's how you get sacks. And you have to win up front. And if you can't win, I would like to see us blitz more. You got to do something. You can't let a guy sit back there pick you apart like that.
Yeah, the defensively, it was that was really disappointing, because when you have some great individual efforts like Tony talked about, C.J. Mosley played real hard. He's been playing hard all year.
Posluszny, too.
Stitch, Paul Posluszny. And I say Stitch because he ended up having the bridge of his nose requiring stitches after the end of the game. He was, I thought, outstanding. And he could have been a little bit better. And by the way, let me tease this. He's going to be our guest in the film room portion of the Mike Mularkey Show on Sunday
morning.
Looking
forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, the middle of the field on that long drive was wide open. They just kept dumping it off to the tight ends. I think the tight ends had 17 catches, about 170 yards, and three touchdowns. And so it would seem, Tony, Jeff, that the Jaguars linebackers are seen as a target.
I'll let you go first, Tony.
Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think the problem we have with the linebacker position, so we play the majority of the time we play zone, and we play off cover two zone. And in cover two, the middle of the field's open. And what they did is they just sat that tight end right in the middle of the field in between the two linebackers. We don't play – I don't know if we have the confidence, because maybe the speed or athleticism of our linebackers play a lot of man coverage where they match up with the tight ends and try to take them away. And so I think teams are going to go there and take advantage of that situation until we take it away.
One of the things, though, I think that they've got to do a better job on, and I don't want to be super technical here, but when you play coverages, you have to – in zone – the defenders have to relate to where the receivers are and the routes that are being run. And I thought that they did a terrible job of relating to those at the linebacker position. And the linebacker position, quite honestly, is not good enough. I mean, Paul Posluszny is a good player. Russell Allen, I would love to have in the role that he was in a couple years ago.
Fourth guy, special
teams. As a fourth guy. Julian Stanford, practice squad guy.
Even if Russell's your third guy, but he can't be your second.
No, he can't be number two. And, you know, Julian Stanford, I'd love to see the guy on practice squad. I think he's got a future. Kyle Bosworth, he'd like to have him be five or six, you know, or a guy that
special teams.
Hey, we need a special teams player this week.
Right.
You know? And I'm not trying to be down on him, but, I mean, that's the reality. I mean, that position group it's not good enough. And, you know, Tony, did you watch the game Monday night where you watched the Chicago Bears and the 49ers? And look, and I know that they're one of the better teams in the league at that position, but just watching them and watching their linebackers, I was just sitting there going, boy, wouldn't you like to have a couple of them here in Jacksonville?
Well, just watching that San Francisco defense, the one thing that you notice, forget the front four. I mean, obviously they're very good up front. And Alvin Smith and Justin Smith, I mean, these guys – they're dominating. What stands out to me on that San Francisco defense is the back half, the back seven, how fast they play the game. I mean, they are flying around. You see, even when they're in cover two, those safeties are down there in a heartbeat making plays. And it's the thing I think that separates our defense right now
compared to the top end defense is that explosiveness and that speed. And it's something that, you know, is, you see teams take advantage of it. You saw the Texans take advantage of it. And so it's something that I think you try to game plan around, and you got to play hard and you got to play physical. And it would be a big help if we could win up front. And if
Jerry
you don't win
your
up
life
front,
play 90. Sorry, Tony. Jerry, in your life, play 92 plays in a game?
In college, probably, not in the pros.
That's a lot of plays.
There were actually 94 plays on film, but then a couple penalties, you know, nullifies a play, so it went down as 92 plays for the Jaguars defense. 92 plays.
It took me forever to watch the tape.
And they allowed, what was it, 640 yards of offense, which, Tony, back in the day, if there were 640 yards in a game and 92 plays in a game for each offense total.
Let alone one.
That would be a game.
Yeah, it would have been.
Actually, to be, you know, stickler for detail, the NFL added 13 yards a day, so it was actually 653. There was
it was
a ruling change. So that's the good news.
Thanks, John.
No problem.
Were they
Johnny.
Passing yards?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's great.
Were they passing yards?
It was sort of a technicality with the ruling on a fumble.
Okay.
I'm not smart enough to understand it, but it's 653 now.
Well, I mean,
Shelby's tied
for
second place.
Yeah, the bottom line is, I mean, you can't, I mean, this is stating the obvious, and every guy in that locker would say the same thing. I mean, you can't give up that many yards. You got to make a play. I mean, you have a 14-point lead with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, you make one play possibly, and that changes the entire game. And
well, Blackman makes
a
catch.
If Justin makes the catch, but also, I mean, Tony, you know this. I mean, as a playing offensive tackle, if you were playing offensive tackle and you were down by 14 in the fourth quarter, that's like being in purgatory. Is that proper term there, Brighter Man?
Well,
right,
I was going to say, it might be close to hell.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a nightmare.
I mean, because literally, you're playing. I mean, if I played left tackle and we are down 14 in the fourth quarter, I know that I'm in a 2-point stance and the guy I'm playing against is in a track stance, and I better be on my best to stop him, because even if he's an average pass rusher, you know, out of 30 tries, I mean, or 20 attempts that Matt Schaub has, I mean, it takes one mistake and I'm going to get beat.
All right. Nobody was getting beat, though.
Jeff, I mean, you played the position. What's the problem with our pass rush? Why aren't guys winning?
They're not playing well enough, or they're not good enough, whatever you want to call it.
Well, Jeremy Mincy had one tackle and one pressure. What's happened to him?
Don't know. I mean, he was going against a good player.
That's true. Dwayne Brown's excellent.
You know, going against a good player.
I mean, how many attempts did Schaub have?
57.
You got to knock him down. You got to get there.
CJ had both sacks, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub had as clean of a day in the pocket as a quarterback could ever dream of.
Throwing 57 times.
Yep.
All right, Tony, we got to take a break.
Real quick, I'll just say this. It looks like, especially at the defense end position, it looks like we're running down the middle too much of those offensive tackles. It doesn't seem like we get on an edge very well.
I would agree.
I'll leave it at that. Long pause for effect. All right. Joe,
hey,
take
guys,
a break. Tony,
Thanksgiving.
Hey, Tony.
And you, Tony.
Too, Tom.
Where are you going to dinner in Dallas?
We're going to Papa Steakhouse.
Oh. You going to go to the old 96er?
I might get two of them.
That would be the 96 answer, by the way.
All right. Thanks, Tony. And they have a great Thanksgiving spread at Dallas Stadium, and I'm going to feast on that. I'll probably have a couple pecan pies as well. Or pecan.
Pecan. There you go. It's pecan. All right. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that.
See ya.
We'll send it to you, Joe. Go to break.
All right, guys. You can help eliminate hunger during the Jaguars' 18th annual food drive benefiting Second Harvest. By bringing just one can or $1 to the Jaguars-Titans game this Sunday, you can make a difference. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Brian Sexton back with John Osher, Jeff Lagerman, and our special guest, J.P. Shadrick. Hoping that you're getting all geeked up for the Thanksgiving holiday. John, are you cooking?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm actually going to the Weiss family's home.
So. Loggy, are you cooking?
We have a collaborative effort.
But are you personally cooking?
Yeah, I'm doing the fried turkey. That's my specialty, man. I'm as good as anybody at fried turkey.
That fits.
And what do you inject your turkey with?
That's a secret.
Does Crown Royal have any role to play?
Well, no.
The preparation, sure.
Right.
You know what the best thing, you can go to the stores and you can buy those injector kits.
Yeah.
I mean, those are outstanding and they work.
You get the Cajun mix?
But one of the other ways that what I like to do is that you actually take melted butter and inject melted butter into a turkey.
That's healthy. Sounds great.
Well, Thanksgiving is not about healthy.
Yeah, right. JP, dare I say, are you?
I'm going to the office and then.
Single guy, no kids.
Yeah, I don't
family
know
in Alabama.
Yeah, everybody used to do Thanksgiving's dead now, so we don't do that anymore. Not a big. No, sorry to get it right down. My bad.
Right.
But, it's, whatever. So, no.
How many invitations do you have?
One. I think Pink Cat invited me over.
Come on over.
So I might go over and eat some fried
turkey.
Come
on with us,
you.
Man. If you want to. Come on.
Yeah.
You're all set.
I like it.
The beach is always open to you also.
Yeah, that's very true.
And if anybody wants to invite JP over.
Yeah, I'd be pleased to come eat your turkey.
Absolutely. All right, back to the task at hand, and that is the Jaguars trying to get a win this week. It would seem, if you look at the Titans and the way they're playing the game now, it's all back on Chris Johnson. By the way, remember we talked about him? 4 yards in the opener against San Diego, 17 yards the next week, 24 the next. I mean, he had 4 games where he didn't even hit 100 yards cumulative in the first 5 weeks, though in the last 7 weeks he has more than 800 yards. Logs, what do you see?
Well, that's exactly right. JP, I pulled JP into the cave, to watch film early on this year, watching a couple games in which Chris Johnson was just, it was embarrassing. I mean, the guy would have a hole and he would just be noncommittal. He played as if he was scared, basically like playing like he did the last 2 years.
Right.
Which is substandard Chris Johnson.
Especially last year.
And hadn't seen him in a while. And then all of a sudden was watching the tape yesterday. And all of a sudden I say, JP, man, check this out. Whoa. And all of a sudden it's the guy that I saw from 2009 when he ran for 2,006 yards, he looks more like that. He's not completely like that, but he's more like that than he has been in a long time.
You held your breath when he had the ball, and you could see a lane.
Same thing right now. You're going to hold your breath.
Well, how does that change, though? How does it change from a guy not doing that doing it?
He's due a $10 million roster bonus on the last day of the league, or the first day of the league year.
First day of the calendar year.
Yeah, so all of a sudden now there was talk when he had 4, 17, 24, 24.
Well, he's not going to get it.
There was a lot of talk of that last year.
Yeah, he's not going to get that far.
But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear. That's the motivation.
Would you pay him?
Me?
Or would you cut him? Wondering whether you're getting Chris Johnson looking at $10 million.
If it's my money, I'm not paying him.
Right.
But it's not my money to be paying.
Can you pay him by the game?
That would be nice.
That would be a nice thing.
That's the hard thing. I mean, that's a lot of money for a running back in a league that's very different,
he did nothing last year.
The one thing about him is that he is a legitimate receiving guy, as a running back. But, no, I probably wouldn't pay that kind of money. But, the Tennessee Titans aren't exactly loaded with talent on their roster. I think they're similar to the Jaguars in that they've got some young players that they're hoping to develop, but none of them have really stepped up. The difference in the teams is that I think that they've got, probably about equal talent on offense. But they've got a young quarterback in Jake Locker that makes me nervous a little bit because he's mobile. Played first game that he played since missing some time with a shoulder injury was 2 weeks ago against the Miami Dolphins. And he hardly threw the ball at all against the Miami Dolphins because the Titans got a bunch of takeaways. Chris Johnson ran well.
9 of 21.
Yeah, so he didn't have to throw it.
Well, what's interesting about this team, through 9 games, the Titans were on pace to give up more points than any team in NFL history. I mean, this was a terrible defense for 9 games. And they turned it on against the Dolphins and gave up 3 points and got the takeaways. But you wonder with how the Jaguars played offensively this last week. I don't think the Titans qualify as a great defense just off one game. So you would think the Jaguars can create points.
Yeah, they're giving up 399 a game.
Their defense is it's very young up front. Their defensive linemen are almost all draft picks in their second, third year. Their linebacking core is either one rookie and then two second-year guys, very young.
Here's the one guy, though, that I think on an offensive perspective, the Jaguars would love to have him, and that is Jared Cook. He's going to be a free agent after the season, by the way. You remember he had eight catches.
The tight end.
Yeah, 169, 55-yard score last year up there. I mean, the Jaguars couldn't stop him. He was the difference in the ballgame.
They've kind of phased him away.
His agent asked for a trade in October because of that.
Yeah, what they've done is the Stevens and the other tight end, the
Taylor Thompson.
Yeah, and Taylor Thompson was a defensive end at college. I had no idea this until I read his bio.
Yeah.
I was a defensive end. So those two guys have been getting the bulk of the load, and then when they go to their three wide receivers and the tight end set, then Cook comes in the game. And I'm looking at that going, hey, look, if I've got a playmaker like Cook, I'll be darned if he's going to be on the sideline and let these other two guys in the game and not have the opponent worry about Cook.
They were also hurt a lot last year. Remember in the opener in Jacksonville, Kenny Britt looked like a Pro Bowler waiting to happen.
136 yards and two
scores. He's not like that right now.
But I'm saying at the time, you thought they really had something there. This was one of the good young wide receivers in the NFL. He had had a good year the previous year, and he got hurt, I believe, week three last year.
Yeah, the ACL.
First of all, Kenny Britt is a questionable character. Was suspended by the league early on.
He's got major off the field.
He's got major decision making problems. In other words, he's a dumb, you know what?
Jerk.
Yeah, that's a good term. And so he's come back from the ACL. He's lucky to not having had a suspension that was greater than what he had. He's immensely talented. He's coming back from the ACL. He has a suspension from the league off. So then he starts working his way back, and then he hurts an ankle. Then they've had quarterback issues. Matt Hasselbeck came in relief for an injured Jake Locker in the first game. And then in week four or five was it that in the Houston Texans game, Locker
hurt the shoulder and missed 6 weeks.
Interesting little thing here. Jake Locker against the Texans got hurt by a hit from the safety Glover Quinn and ended up getting on a non-throwing shoulder, gets, put out for a while. And it's interesting that however many weeks later it was, 5-6 weeks later, that Blaine Gabbert goes and plays against the Texans, and it was the other safety, Daniel Manning, who puts the hit on Gabbert, hurts the elbow, and then he's done. Again.
You're right. Absolutely. We need a break. Real quick, before we do, if they can stop Chris Johnson, if Chris Johnson has 80 yards rushing, do the Jaguars win? Is that the key?
If they can stop Chris Johnson, I think you win that ball game.
All right. Joe, news is next.
All right, Brian. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, continues on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week live from Latitude 30. Brian Sexton along with John Osher, Jeff Loggeman, J.P. Shadrick. The Metro PCS call-in lines are open at 355-NFL-1 or 800-355-6351. And, of course, as you're out and about, both hands on the wheel tonight, folks. Thanksgiving Day roads are expected to be crowded all over the place. So let's, before we go and start really looking forward at the other games, tomorrow and this weekend, from a defensive standpoint, when you look at this Titans offensive line, they've got a new center.
Yeah, Eugene Amano ended up going on injured reserve before the season even started with a torn tricep, I believe.
Right. And so now you've got
Steve Hutchinson, and future Hall of Famer at left guard.
Seven Pro Bowls. And Deuce Latuie's the other
one. Latuie, the guy that used to be severely overweight, 400 pounds, played for the Cardinals. He's at right guard. And then the center, what's his name?
Francisco
Velasco.
Right.
Yeah, he's been a backup. I mean, they're still good up front.
Well, they had Mike Munchak, and we always used to talk about this offensive line as being one that was coached to be able to play dirty smart.
And then they played dirty smart. I mean, that was probably when Mike Munchak was coaching this unit, when Jeff Fisher was the head coach, probably the best coach offensive line in football, bar none. Because he got more, I think, out of less talent than any other coach in the league. And when he had an injury, it seemed like they never missed a beat. And now, obviously, the coach has changed because Munchak is the head coach. But they've got Bruce Matthews, also a Hall of Famer. And he's coaching his son, by the way, who's a backup. So, I mean, it's a really good unit. I don't think that Hutchinson is as good as he used to be, but in your 12th year, who is?
Right.
But he's still effective. He's still very savvy. And the left tackle, Michael Roos, is probably not playing at the Pro Bowl level that he's been at in years past.
Give him credit. He had an emergency appendectomy last month.
Yes.
So.
But David Stewart, Big Country, the right tackle, is playing at a very good level.
Right.
So, on the inside, they're you know, the center, right guard, not as good. Tackles, still pretty good.
But the primary difference, you know, between these teams, the Jaguars have had three or four games on the road that they could have, would have, should have won. If they do that, they're 3-7, 4-6 going into a game against a 4-6 Tennessee team. Yeah. This is a game the Jaguars, you know, when you're 1-9, I don't want to say there's games you should win. This is
yeah, don't say that.
But this is a game they ought to win.
Don't say that.
If you're going to get one, you ought to get one.
When you're 1-9, I mean, you can't say that.
No.
You can't go into any game and say, this is a game we should win.
This is a phone call.
Because you know what? The radio show that's going on in Nashville right now.
Yeah, they're saying the same thing.
They're going,
we should win this game.
The Jaguars.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We got this game.
Yeah, what do they know on radio?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I know to go to the phone lines when the Pointing Priest joins us, Father Tom Willis, the Jaguars Catholic chaplain and a longtime friend of many on this show. Sent me a voicemail, and I couldn't quite make it out, Padre, so I figured we might as well have you on the air. First of all, how are things in St. Augustine this evening?
Oh, they're wonderful. It's beautiful down here. You know?
Yeah, you always say that. Chamber of Commerce guy that you are.
Exactly.
So what's on your mind?
I read the article on the sports page of the Times Union this morning in which they dissected five of the plays that Chad Henne made over against what Blaine has made over the year. And I was really interested because from my untrained eye, I thought the article caught some things that were very apropos to the conversation you guys were having primarily in the first hour. But the other thing is I really, especially from you guys who see this all the time and have a much better eye than I do, what you thought of the article.
In fact, Father Tom, good evening, by the way.
Good evening, Jeff. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
As my good friend Skeeter would say, I'm finer than frog's hair. The article that you're referring to was written by Ryan O'Halloran, who, by the way, I think does a great job.
Yeah, he sure does.
I really enjoy reading his stuff, and he's very detailed. And read the article, and I thought it was a very good article. And I think the way he dissects the plays down, very well done. I don't think he gave Jalen Parmalee quite enough credit for the one long throw that Chad Henne had, but he still mentioned it in there. But a good article, and Father Tom, I thought he was spot on. You know, but you know, if you went back and pulled some plays from Gabbert previously, you could probably find some plays just like that. But the problem is, you haven't been able to find enough of them with the frequency, and that's what you got to have out of your quarterback is more of those.
And I can just tell you, you know, from what plates I have on the sidelines, and again, it's an untrained eye in many respects. These guys have not quit. They are playing their hearts out all the time. So,
no. I'd agree with that too. I mean, I'm down there too. There's never any quit, even in a scenario in the Bears game with fourth quarter. It might have been some letdown a little bit just because it was a tough way to go, but they never stopped playing.
I get a lot of questions every week about the passion of the team, and when you're losing 5-6 in a row, and when you're down big at home, you're going to look like you're not very passionate. I don't believe that the team went into last week's game with any more passion than they do with any game. When you lose, it looks like you're not passionate. When it's close and you're excited and you're jumping up and down after a 1-yard loss, then you look like you're fired up. And I think that's usually the difference in the passion of a football team.
And to the point that I called on is I think people who have taken Blaine and in many respects thrown him under the bus. I don't think they understand the competitive nature that he has, and that's what got him to the NFL in the first place. And while I appreciate the article this morning, it's a lot of what makes these guys NFL competitors. Jeff, you know that personally.
Well, you're right, and you know what, Father Tom, I appreciate your perspective, and a lot of people would say, oh, this guy's full of it, he's lying through his teeth, he's telling stories. You know, Father Tom, the old collar says that you aren't.
All right, Father.
I'll go to confession later then.
Hey, I'll be first in line. Trust me, it might be a while, though.
It'll be a long time. While. All right, happy Thanksgiving,
happy
Father.
Thanksgiving,
good to hear
guys.
From you.
God bless.
That's he'd the pointing
to,
priest.
He'd have to clear his schedule.
For a while. All right, let's take our final break. Joe, get us out of here.
You got it, Brian. The Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Guest Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com, click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on live from Latitude 30 on Jaguars Radio.
All right, about 8 minutes left to go around the National Football League. Get some thoughts on the games tomorrow and over the weekend, and we'll start with I like the sound of three Thanksgiving Day
games. It's like overdose on Thanksgiving. You overdose on food, and then you just, you know, you sit on the couch, and you overdose on football, and it's just never pretty.
By the way, did you guys know that there's no parade tomorrow? There's no Macy's Day parade. Did you hear that they canceled that?
Why?
Because of the storm.
Sandy?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So there's,
forgot about that.
There's one Thanksgiving Day tradition that is not taking place tomorrow, and that's the annual Macy's Day Parade, which always kind of rolled right into the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And the first game tomorrow is, of course, in Detroit. It's the Texans against the Lions, 12:30 kickoff.
An interesting game. An interesting game. You know, the Texans playing on a very short week for them. After playing five quarters of football.
Yeah, long. I mean,
and
all
having to go
five
on
quarters.
The road, yeah, and played all five quarters. So that's a tough one to call.
I bet the Lions get that one just because it's Thanksgiving, and the Texans had a scare last week, so you figure after 3 days' rest, they might be a little down.
They could throw the ball around a little bit, too.
I'm going to take the Texans.
It's awful hard to pick against those guys the way that they're playing right now. They're so multifaceted. It doesn't matter. You take away the run, they'll throw. You take away the throw, they'll run.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Texans just because I think that...
Jaguars didn't take away the throw last week.
No. They took away the run.
Yes, they did.
They didn't take away the throw.
No.
Okay, the second game is obviously one, Jeff, that you watched for years and years.
Love that.
Washington at Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, a 4:15 kick, evenly matched 4-6 Redskins, 5-5 Cowboys.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with the Redskins just because I believe in RG3. I think he's a fantastic player. I'm not a real big fan of Mike Shanahan. But, you know, there's nothing that makes me happier than seeing Jerry Jones' reaction after losing.
Yeah.
Did they lock him out of the locker room a couple weeks ago?
I mean, the general manager is just doesn't like it.
I've watched a few of those games myself, but I say Dallas wins that one.
Yeah, home game.
But
that
you know what?
Really if used to matter.
I say that just because Jerry just, you know, he's colorful. He definitely is the soundbite perfect owner in the National Football League.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. And I say that jokingly, but he is a great guy. If I had to pick owners, the one that I would hope that would lose in that game would be Daniel Snyder,
sure.
because he's kind of annoying. But Jerry is so entertaining when the Cowboys lose.
All right. Speaking of entertaining, this would be a lot more fun tomorrow night when the Jets host the Patriots if Rex Ryan hadn't been so humbled this year.
No, that's absolutely. Patriots.
All the way.
Yeah, it's not even going to be.
They put up 59.
We'll just see how much they score.
I mean, I know that the Jets, you know, had a nice win this past week. Who'd they beat?
It wasn't that nice.
Yeah,
it
wasn't so
big win.
Big win, I tell you.
Big win for the Jets.
Hold on, I'll look.
They beat the Rams.
Yes,
they beat the Rams.
Correct.
Beat the Rams.
I was thinking the Chiefs, but the Bengals beat the Chiefs.
So I think the Jets come back down to earth.
All right, to Sunday, Minnesota at Chicago.
Bears.
Chicago. The Bears.
You're liking Christian Ponder in this one, huh, John?
I'm not liking Christian Ponder. I just think the Bears are struggling, and if Cutler doesn't play, they're a different team.
Cutler will play, and they will win.
Okay,
didn't Harvin hurt his ankle again? I thought I wrote
that. I'll go with the Bears.
Yeah, Harvin's not been full strength.
I hadn't seen the Cutler was playing.
Oakland at Cincinnati.
Do you ever want to pick Oakland right now? I mean, the way they're playing?
No.
Cincinnati needs it, and they're still in it. So I'll get that one.
Buffalo at Indianapolis.
Where's that at? At Indy?
At Indy.
At Indy.
Indy.
Yeah, Colts.
Have you seen the Bills?
Yeah, I've watched them on tape. You know, if they can get both of their running backs, and I know Fred Jackson has a concussion issue, but C.J. Spiller has been electric. Defensively, they're the same Bills, Brian, that you remember the last time that we watched a game up there, with the only difference of Mario Williams. I think that's going to be a tight game. I think that's a toss-up right there.
Pittsburgh, who's their quarterback? Cleveland.
Charlie
Batch.
Charlie, we need
you. He's been around a long time. Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
First of all, somebody explain to me how Charlie Batch was using up a roster spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the last how many years?
Hey, just in case you need him.
Yeah, I know, but if you need him, you just call him. Hey, Charlie, we need you in Pittsburgh. Can you...
10 years.
Yeah.
10 years.
Nobody else wanted him. If you didn't have him on your roster, it's not like he'd be gone.
Does Pittsburgh win?
Yes.
Who are they playing?
Cleveland.
I'm going with Cleveland.
Oh. I like
that. Good for you.
Cleveland.
Have fun with it.
Denver, Kansas City.
Denver.
Oh, Denver.
Easy.
Yeah.
Seattle at Miami. Wait, hold on. You didn't weigh in. You're,
I mean, that's
a wry smile.
That's
on
an
your
easy
face.
One.
Well, I thought maybe you had some insight. Seattle at Miami.
It's like picking the Jaguars, expecting them to win every week, right? I mean, you just don't expect the Kansas City Chiefs to win right now.
No, they gave their best effort that Monday night game in Pittsburgh and lost in overtime, and you thought that might be the end of them. Seattle at Miami.
You know, the Miami Dolphins were playing so – I mean, I just can't believe the rookie Tannehill can beat that Seattle Seahawks defense. I'm going to take the Seahawks.
And it looks like the league's caught up with Tannehill a little bit as a rookie. I think he can get better out of this, but it seems like they've caught up with him a little bit.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Miami ended up winning. I mean, they've played some tough games.
They were embarrassed last week, too.
They were embarrassed, and their defense is not playing at the level that it was early on in the year. You know, so I'm going to take Seattle.
Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
That's a great game. That may be one of the games of the week right there. You've got what is the top dog in that division against a division opponent with, you know, they want to say that they're the new dogs on the block, so to speak.
They're a rising team for sure.
With a running back who is absolutely on fire, a quarterback who is making big strides in that system, and Josh Freeman. You know, defensively, not so sure about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think that may be the game of the week.
It's a hard one to call, but I'll bet Atlanta gets them this time, and they may not be getting them for much longer.
What kickoff time is that?
It's a 1 o'clock kick.
Man, I was hoping it would be 4 so that we could, you know, have the Jaguars game and then watch some of that game.
Because
that would
Jones
be an
entertaining.
Eat some leftovers and watch that game.
I think
game.
He is.
Yeah, right.
I think
it falls in the leftover week window. Baltimore at San Diego.
Boy, San Diego is reeling. Phillip Rivers is not doing anything to speak of. Norv Turner, you know, he's resigned to the fact of what his fate is going to be. Baltimore.
All right, we're going to forget the Rams and Cardinals and Panthers and Eagles.
Why?
Because there's two other real good games, and we only have a minute left.
Okay.
San Francisco at New Orleans. All of a sudden, that's a relevant game.
I just can't see the
New Orleans at home.
New Orleans' defense is just bad. I mean, just bad. I don't care if it's Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick. I think they're going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, but San Francisco gets that game.
Green Bay at the New York Giants. That is Sunday Night Football.
That's a great game.
I got to take Tom. I'm going to take Tom.
They've been struggling, but they'll bounce back. Tom.
Yep.
And that'll do it. JP, thanks for your time.
Hey, 66 and clear on Sunday. Come to the game.
Can't wait. Jeff, happy Thanksgiving. John.
And to you.
Joe Fortunato. And to our engineer, Craig Kopcho. Thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well. And hope all of you enjoy the holiday. Talk to you on Sunday.